Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Wednesday, February 5th, 2025, and it's a feast of St. Agatha of Catania, Sicily. We'll talk a little bit more about her in the Italy section this morning, Shrines and Wonders Wednesday. I did want to mention, I'm just pulling it up here on my computer really quickly, if you go to your Magnificat, there's a beautiful summary of her life and her martyrdom. Just let me read this to you. St. Agatha, since ancient times, Agatha's virginal martyrdom in Catania, Sicily, has been commemorated on this date. She is one of seven female martyrs who are named after the consecration in the Roman canon. Along with eight male counterparts, of faithful in Malta and Sicily have always had particular affection for Agatha. Her purity and innocence commended her to young women in the Middle Ages, who frequently invoked her alongside the virgins Agnes and Lucy. And even in his 1994 letter to children, St. John Paul II offered her as a saintly example for young people. Amen to that. St. Agatha, pray for us. And we'll talk a little bit more about her at the bottom of the hour in our Italy's Shrines and Wonders Wednesday. Italy's Shrines and Wonders, my new book published by EWTN. You can find it, of course, at the EWTN Religious Catalog. Also going to be talking with our friend, and it's been a probably since I think before the new year that we spoke with Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League. Can't believe it's February already. And there's a number of issues that we'll discuss with the amazing Bill, including he put out an interesting release regarding the ongoing death of DEI, what's happening with that. And then I want to dive into his thoughts on a very powerful statement. And by the way, there's a really good article on this as well on our Catholic News Agency website and National Catholic Register regarding the statement from our president, J.D. Vance, a Catholic, about Christian love. And what does that mean? And why did he say it? And what can we learn from that? So we'll discuss with Bill. And then, of course, it is a Wednesday, which means we always have to chat with Joni. And, of course, beautiful audience message from the Holy Father. He's not feeling too well today. He let one of the other presiders at the audience today, those who make the announcements. When you go to an audience, there's usually a Monsignor or several different priests there giving the message in different languages. And so he let one of them actually read his message for today because apparently he's struggling with a cold. But, I mean, he's fine. He's just a little bit under the weather. We'll get an update from Joan and also talk about this beautiful apostolic letter about children that the Holy Father is going to be issuing very, very soon. Weather-wise, we've got trouble not only in River City, but across a big area of the country that's going to see some ice and snow. I mean, it is pretty wide. So we have Pacific storms continuing to bring strong winds, heavy rain, with a risk for flooding to northern and central California and heavy mountain snow in the Sierras, Southern Cascades, and Northern Rockies. And that will occur through this week, through Friday, actually. And then there's this big winter storm that will impact the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic. And it's a combination of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. And in some parts, it starts today, later today, and could be with us again through late Thursday, late tomorrow, and Friday. And they're saying expect hazardous travel. So please keep that in mind and be careful out there. Again, it's going to be some rough weather ahead. No surprise there, actually, because we are in the middle of winter for a good portion of the country. All right, it's almost 4 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Thanks for listening to EWTN. A ton of news, as always. Let's get started on a Wednesday. A mass shooting in Sweden is being called the worst in that country's history. Police say a gunman killed 10 people yesterday at an adult education center west of Stockholm. Trent Murray reporting the gunman was also killed. Six people were hospitalized with injuries.
Investigators say they're still trying to determine the motivation of the shooter. The incident has shocked Sweden, where gun violence in schools is considered very rare.
Police do say that all indications are that the perpetrator acted alone without any type of motive, at least so far. They say the gunman was about 35 years old and had no criminal record and that he apparently lived alone as well. During his weekly general audience, the Holy Father reflecting on the mystery of the visitation, urging the faithful to follow the example of the Blessed Mother who welcomed Christ with her Magnificat. Continuing his catechesis series on the Jubilee Year's theme of Jesus Christ, Our Hope, the Holy Father reflecting on the mysteries of the visitation. He said the Blessed Mother recalled that he recalled visited St. Elizabeth, that is above all Jesus in his mother's womb, he pointed out, who visits people. In fact, he highlighted that after Mary's astonishment and wonder following the Annunciation, she gets up and then sets out on a journey. Mary Pope Francis adds, did not fear danger or others' judgment. Rather, the young woman went toward others instead of choosing to protect herself from the world. Mary, the Pope reminded us, does not speak of herself, but of God and her Magnificat, raising a praise full of faith, hope, and joy. He also added that even if its verbs are all in the past tense, her words are filled with memory of the love that lights up the present with faith and illuminates a future with hope. Meanwhile, Devin Watkins tells us that the Pope has mentioned his prayer intention for February has to do with vocations.
Let us pray that the ecclesial community might welcome the desires and doubts of those young people who feel called to live Jesus' mission in life, either through the priestly life or religious life. Pope Francis made that appeal in the Pope video, which was released on Tuesday to accompany his prayer intention for February 2025. Drawing on his own vocational experience, the Pope recalled that at 17 years old, he had other plans for his life that didn't include becoming a priest. But one day, he said, I went into the church and God was there waiting for me. The Holy Father noted that God calls many young people to serve his people through a vocation to the priesthood or religious life. God still calls young people even today, sometimes in ways we can't imagine, he said. Sometimes we don't hear because we are too busy with our own things, our own plans, even with our own things in the church. Yet, added Pope Francis, the Holy Spirit reveals God's plan for our lives by speaking to the heart of young people. The task of Catholics, he added, is to accompany their spiritual journey so that they will be willing and able to welcome the call to a religious vocation. Let us trust young people, concluded Pope Francis, and above all, let us trust God, for he calls everyone.
Tennessee Catholic bishops, as Catholic News Agency is reporting this week, praising the passage of legislation establishing the state's first ever universal school choice program, which is set to fund more than 20,000 scholarships to private schools. Governor Bill Lee's Education Freedom Act of 2025, passed on January 30th, will fund scholarships, half of which are income restricted. The passage of the act shortly followed the Trump-Vance administration's executive order last week instructing federal agencies to expand school choice. In other news this morning, Mark Mayfield tells us President Trump says the U.S. should be in charge of Gaza.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met at the White House Tuesday, with Netanyahu becoming the first foreign leader to meet with Trump in his second term. Trump says he held fantastic talks with Netanyahu, with the Israeli Prime Minister calling Trump the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House. The president said the U.S. should own the Gaza Strip and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons there. Earlier in the day, Trump said that people would not want to go back to Gaza because of the destruction in the area.
The Palestinian ambassador to the U.N. says world leaders should respect the wishes of the Palestinian people. Riyad Mansour speaking shortly after President Trump, during that press conference with Israelis, Benjamin Netanyahu unveiled a proposal for the U.S. to take over the Gaza Strip, as you heard.
Our country and our home is the Gaza Strip. It's part of Palestine. We have no home.
Trump's plan also met with negative reaction from Saudi Arabia, Russia, and China. In the U.S., however, House Speaker Mike Johnson posting on X in support of what he called bold actions in hopes of achieving long-lasting peace. The Department of Education investigating reports of anti-Semitism at five universities. This comes after President Trump signed an executive order calling on federal agencies to take action against reports of widespread anti-Semitic harassment on college campuses. Those under investigation include Columbia, Northwestern, Portland State, the University of California, Berkeley, and the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities. And the Senate confirmed Pam Bondi as Attorney General yesterday, giving her control of the DOJ, the Department of Justice. The vote yesterday was 54-46, with Democratic Senator John Fetterman joining Republicans to vote in her favor. Meanwhile, two of President Trump's other cabinet possible members are advancing, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s nomination for head of the Department of Health and Human Services and Tulsi Gabbard's nomination for Director of National Intelligence will both now move to the Senate floor, a Senate committee voting along party lines yesterday, 14-13 in favor of RFK. In New York State, Nassau County plans to designate 10 detectives to help ICE with detaining undocumented immigrants who have criminal records. Republican County Executive there, Bruce Blakeman, announcing that the detectives will be able to detain people living in the country illegally who have committed crimes when ICE agents are not available, and he says it's not about raids.
This is targeted enforcement of our laws based here in the state of New York. People have committed crimes here and have violated federal laws by being in the United States illegally.
For the move, such individuals will be held at 50 county jails, and the detectives will also assist with operations outside of the county as well as be able to question people with clean records about their immigration status. The federal government will be reimbursing the county for that support. And the White House says the first migrant flight to Guantanamo Bay is now underway. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt making the comment to Fox Business. She added that President Trump, Pete Hegseth, and Kristi Noem are already delivering on the promise to utilize the capacity at Gitmo for illegal criminals. A Senate committee held a hearing to consider new legislation that would classify fentanyl-related substances as a Schedule I drug permanently. Orange County, California Sheriff Coroner Don Barnes testifying in front of that committee.
The fight against the fentanyl epidemic in California is incredibly challenging, given our close proximity to the border, national drug trends, and our state's permissive drug laws.
Drugs listed as Schedule I are those that have high abuse potential and that have the potential to become addictive as well. A bipartisan group of senators unveiling a bill last month that would reclassify the synthetic opioid. Fentanyl is currently a Schedule II drug that is supposed to be used for pain management in medical settings. It is a Wednesday morning, finally in our news this morning at 12 minutes past the hour on February 5th, the Feast of St. Agatha. Pennsylvania authorities say 100,000 organic eggs worth, get this, over $40,000 were stolen from the back of a truck over the weekend. Police say the eggs were taken late Saturday night from the back of a distribution trailer outside an organic food center in Greencastle, south of Harrisburg. So far, police say they have no leads. When we come back, always great to catch up with the amazing Bill Donahue of the Catholic League. We'll talk about some of the issues out there in the culture that impact us as Catholics, including some things going on with DEI and also some very strong comments from our vice president about the beauty of Christian love. We shall discuss in about 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
If you're still on the fence about purchasing a new air conditioner, just know that prices are expected to increase by 25% over the next year due to EPA standards. Don't wait.
Hi, I'm Ron Garmo with Running Right Heating and Cooling. Call us today for a free quote on a new air conditioning system and all your heating and cooling needs. Mention Ave Maria Radio and get a 10% discount.
Call today, 248-884-1704, or go to runningrighthvac.com to schedule an appointment.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
How does God act when a person moves closer to Him? St. Ignatius of Loyola writes in the second of his 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, "And it is proper to the good spirit to give courage and strength, consolations, tears, inspirations, and quiet, easing and taking away all obstacles, so that the person may go forward in doing good." God gives courage and strength to help a person continue to rise from good to better. God also gives consolations and tears. Consolation is a happy, uplifting movement of the heart that assists us in our service to the Lord. Tears reflect the working of God's grace within our hearts. God also gives inspirations that lead to spiritual clarity. He gives a quiet peace within the heart and an easing and taking away of all obstacles. So, as St. Ignatius says, that the person may go forward in doing good.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Past the hour. Always great to catch up with our friend Bill Donahue. He is an amazing witness for the faith, defender of the faith, of course, a sociologist, well-known author and speaker, and, of course, running the beautiful Catholic League out of New York. And he's a Yankee fan like me. Yay. Anyway, so let's talk about, at first I want to get your reaction because it's been a while. I mean, I can't believe it's February already. But there's so much going on, and it is really difficult to keep up with it, even for those of us who are constantly looking at news and trying to consume and keep up to date on things. Your thoughts since the inauguration of President Donald Trump, because every day there's something new, and as we were talking during the break, sometimes it's like trying to keep up is like drinking from a fire hose. There's so much going on. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You know, he's on a tear. There's no question about it. You know, as a sociologist, what interests me perhaps the most is that culture is still the most defining element in our society. But while culture affects the economy and affects the politics and the social, it's also true that politics can affect culture. And that's what we have going on here right now. There has been a movement before Trump of people kind of getting fed up with what the Democrats consider to be the most important issues, which is abortion and transgenderism, the whole LGBT thing, and climate change. The New York Times Ipsos poll proved that the other day. They asked the American people, what do you think the Democrats think are the most important issues? They mentioned those issues I just mentioned. And then they asked the American people, what do you consider the most important? Illegal aliens, you know, the economy and life. So they're wildly out of touch. But what Trump is doing, he's actually here using government as a lever to not just affect laws. He's also affecting culture. And that can be done. It's not always culture affecting the government. And he's trying to say, I think, just on the case of the transgenderism, I mean, he's exposing what USAID and the others have done. And it's really having an effect. The American people are very much behind him on this issue. And I regard this as the most important child abuse issue of our time. And the fact that the medical establishment is promoting it makes it all the more sickening.
You know what I think is so important, and you and I discuss this a lot, as you just said, in terms of culture, language also drives what people see in the culture.
Yes.
And how they feel about it. And what he's doing in terms of when he's changing things, he's referring to the reality of the situation. For example, with the surgeries, he's calling them mutilation surgeries. And I just had Father Tapaholchik on last week from the National Catholic Bioethics Center saying how important that language is, because people have been, many of them, if they're not paying attention, accept those phrases and get them in their head, just like the whole idea of pro-choice or reproductive freedom. It's the same thing. He's trying to change that, to get people to realize what it really is.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, Orwell understood the power of language, and that's why they've chosen their terms throughout the years. Even Buttigieg now, which I'm going to write about, because I think he should stick to the with his pronouns. He wants to run away from them now because he wants to run for either governor or senator in Michigan. That's why he laid anchor there in 2022,
again,
moved out of Indiana. But no, the language matters tremendously. You know, they, them, there, that's simply insanity. No individual is a they, them, there. And what Trump is doing is washing through all that material. I keep asking Americans, and I do radio, television, to do what I've done in the past. When you go to fill out a medical form at a doctor's office or hospital, and they have that kind of pronouns there, and they object to it. Just put an X to it. We have to let people know that sex is binary. You're either male or you're female, and we're ratifying and normalizing abnormality. And so, yeah, language is critically important, and Trump is right to go after the pronoun abuse.
And he's doing this in other areas as well. There's just a story this morning about standing up to anti-Semitism and going after these colleges such as Columbia and others who allowed these pro-Palestinian protests to get totally out of control.
Yes, and matter of fact, what I really want to know is how many of them are students. We do have evidence that a lot of them are not, and that they're being paid. So we should begin with those people there. I mean, they have no business trying to hijack higher education for their own Soros-funded kinds of activities. So, yeah, get the students, too, of course, who are involved in that. But a lot of this stuff is coming from the outside. These are pros. That's what they are. And they're in every city in America.
Talking with, of course, the amazing Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League. Check out the great work of Bill and his team at the Catholic League in New York, CatholicLeague.org, where they work on covering issues across the country and around the world for the church. All right, let's talk a little bit about the continuing death of DEI. Because that's happening all over with a lot of these. Some are digging in their heels, for example. I think Costco is still clinging to this. But there are a lot of companies, Bill, that are changing on this, and a lot of other entities as well.
Yeah, I mean, McDonald's, Amazon, a lot of the big ones, of course, Facebook, Meta. You know, at the end of December, our office, like many offices, tend to be a little bit slow. You got Christmas, you got New Year's. So I said to the staff, listen, I know it's going to take a little while. I want you to get the emails of the CEOs or the highest-ranking person in the 552 corporations that are listed by Human Resource, the Human Rights Campaign, the big gay group. They list all these corporations that are in favor of DEI. Now, some of them are pulling away already, and we contacted every one of them. Yet this is a mania, and Christians should be concerned about this. There's Christian bashing going on. It's not just, and obviously their goal is to demonize white, heterosexual, Christians in particular. And this has to go. I mean, we're all in favor of giving everybody a break who has been discriminated against in the past. But the idea that you're teaching people to hate your race, hate your religion, hate your sexual orientation, of any sort. This is wrong, and Trump is doing this. The culture is doing this. This is where you see the hate to use the word intersect because people think I'm intersectionality. It's not. But the thing is that, yes, this is a kind of an interface, really, where the culture and the politics are coming together, the polity, in registering an objection. I think the corporations will be largely relieved. They have to know themselves that this is a game. This is, you're setting up fiefdoms, little bureaucracy, little kingdoms of people to discriminate against other people in the name of equality. No, we're long past that kind of dictatorship.
And what's your take? I think it's so interesting for me as a media person with my background to watch not only the meltdown but the implosion of many of these giant legacy media networks and Trump winning a lot of lawsuits and settlements. You and I both know that suing for defamation, you know, libel, slander, that's very tricky. It's tricky. Was even for Nicholas Salmon, he had some good results and some bad results, and he was not a public person. So, I mean, who's a bigger person in this country, in the world right now than Donald Trump? And yet he seems to be making a point with the media that this extreme bias and this agenda-driven news working in conjunction, which has been proven in terms of studies and contacts and everything else over and over again, that's got to stop. Get back to doing your jobs.
Well, he just won $25 million from CBS on this, and now he's also won again because they've agreed through the FCC
transcript
to release
right.
the
mm-hmm.
tapes of Tulsi, mm-hmm. I mean, of Kamala Harris.
Kamala, yeah.
And before that, he won in December with ABC. Stephanopoulos was warned 7 times, do not go out there and call the man a rapist. And he went there anyhow, and he cost them $15 million. So, yeah, it takes somebody of Trump's stature, obviously, to do this. And I'm all in favor of free speech, but, boy, like any right, once you abuse it to that kind of an egregious stand, then you've made mincemeat out of it, because that's what beckons the hands of the state then to bring in censorship. The way you get rid of censorship is you have to have some kind of limits at some point where you say this is not even reasonable. You know, the ACLU believes that mud wrestling, for example, and dwarf coursing are free speech issues. No, they're not. And when you trivialize free speech, then you open the door for people to become totalitarians. So it's what Trump is doing here is putting them on notice. And he wouldn't win because he's dealing with public persons under New York Times versus Sullivan in 1964. The reason he's winning is that the juries are looking at this and judges are saying, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with free speech. You have totally maligned and libeled or slandered a person.
What's interesting, though, is the media keep doubling down, and their audience size continues to dwindle, whether it's MSNBC, whether it's CNN. And look at the layoffs 2 weeks ago, 200 people from CNN. The ratings really are just tanking, and they just keep digging in their heels and putting out the same messages.
Well, you had that little chit-chat between Gail Collins and Bret Stephens in the New York Times saying that Trump's gone off the rails. It took them only 2 weeks. Then you had Politico saying that people in Washington are terrified. You know, all they've ever told us is that our side is afraid of change. No, mm-hmm. they're afraid of change.
They're afraid
they
of
like
change.
The status quo when right. they have all the lunatic policies there. Now, I'm all in favor of heterodoxy. I like people who challenge the conventional wisdom. And then, of course, you can make the decision. Maybe the conventional wisdom is right, but maybe it's wrong. But you're not going to know it unless you're able to challenge it. And we're under the kind of almost totalitarian regime of Biden-Harris, where there was no free speech allowed in so many different areas, all this is changing very, very quickly. So anybody who says that leadership doesn't matter at the top doesn't know what right. they're talking about.
Well, I also think it's a real good judge to see what happens when you push against a status quo that has been so established in terms of people have been, unfortunately, I think some, so afraid to speak out because of the cancel culture. Even the cancel culture is changing now. So, and this is what's driving the left nuts. And all they're doing is screaming, as opposed to sitting back and saying, wait a minute, if we continue to act this way, were continued to go by the wayside because they're not connecting with people still after everything. They just do not get it or won't get it.
Well, then they have to pay the price in the polls. I mean, if they're that stupid, and I think they are,
right,
then let them do that. I mean, there are some moderate Democrats. Unfortunately, there aren't many of them. And there's no Joe Manchin on the horizon. And so unless one emerges, I imagine somebody will at some point. But right now, the people who are running it, people like Schumer said that we should be worried about guacamole and beer.
Yeah, and beer.
What is
oh, guacamole and beer. Yeah, I know. Crazy. Bill, we're out of time. We need another 3 hours with you, my friend. We'll have you back on. Always great to catch up with the great work you're doing at the Catholic League. Some really great press releases and written articles by Bill. Check it out, CatholicLeague.org, on DEI, on the Vice President, on the Saints and the issue with the Catholic Church. Real interesting things we'd have a chance to go over, but we'll have him back on real soon. CatholicLeague.org. Minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And so grateful to EWTN for publishing my latest book, Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Discovering Sacred Spaces, Fascinating Places and Destinations Off the Beaten Path, hot off the presses. And it was the book of the month for the religious catalog on EWTNRC.com. And it's available there now as we speak. And I do hope you pick up a copy, even if you don't plan on heading to Italy for the Jubilee year anytime soon. It really is a beautiful coffee book, and the pictures in here are just gorgeous. My team and I really just went through so many different photos that we've collected over the years on my pilgrimages and whatnot, and also receiving permission from different sites to use various photographs. It really is such a pretty book, and we color-coded it with the colors of the Italian flag for the various sections. So it's a book that, although is almost 400 pages of information and pictures and testimonies of pilgrims whose lives have changed, it is nice and solid. It's a paperback, but it feels kind of like a hardback copy, a hard copy of a book because of the sturdy cover they put on it. And it fits nicely in your overnight bag or your backpack, so you could grab it out and look at the information, which is done by region and also must-sees and must-dos. So anyhow, today I want to talk about Sicily. And when you go to the beautiful island of Sicily in southern Italy, which is actually a region, you definitely need to go to Catania to learn more about the great martyr of the day, St. Agatha. And as always, EWTN does such a beautiful job, and there actually is a story on the Catholic News Agency website about St. Agatha and some background. And this one I have in front of me, I just want to share with you a little bit of the information from this article and then talk about Catania and things to do in Sicily. By the way, if you are planning to go to Sicily, I would not add too much onto that trip other than Sicily, because Sicily is a region. It is a very large island, which is just off the coast of Calabria. Calabria is known as the toe of Italy. Puglia, or Apulia, is known as the heel, which is on the other side, the Adriatic. But there is so much to see and do in Sicily alone that you could spend easily 2 weeks there and not see it all. I mean, it's just an incredibly diverse and rich island. All right, so today the church remembers St. Agatha of Catania. Now, Catania is on the east coast. It's not too far from the Straits of Messina and also from Taormina, and we'll talk a little bit about that area in a minute. But she was born there around 230, and like many women of her time, she decided, as EWTN explains here, to consecrate her life to Jesus by remaining a virgin. There was a lot of Christian persecution going on in those days, and the governor of Sicily fell in love with her because she was very beautiful, very noble, and sought her hand in marriage. And because she had dedicated her life to Christ, she said no, she rejected him. So it bothered this guy greatly, you can imagine. So he ordered her to be taken to a brothel as punishment. And not only did she avoid any near occasion of sin, she ends up converting a lot of the women in the brothel. And so the governor hears about this and is actually not a happy camper. So then he subjects her to a series of taunts and insults and orders her as well to be tortured. Her executioners, in a fit of insanity, cut off her breasts. And tradition has it, this is a beautiful part of the story, that not only did she miraculously survive the horrors and cruelties committed against her, during the night while she was actually bleeding to death, it said that St. Peter appeared to her to heal her wounds and encouraged her to remain steadfast. Now, at dawn, when the guards realized that the woman had recovered and executioners returned the tortures, Agatha then gave up her life. It was the fifth day of the second month of the year, 251. So, of course, now this is why we have the feast day today, February 5th. Now, 1 year after the martyrdom of St. Agatha, the nearby volcano of Etna, which is, by the way, still an active volcano down in Sicily, erupted. The lava that spread along the slopes of that volcano threatened to destroy Catania. Some of its inhabitants who remembered the young martyr asked for her intercession to stop the fury of nature. Miraculously, the sea of burning rock and ash that began to move never reached the city. In gratitude, Catania and other surrounding towns chose Agatha as their patron saint. And as a story on EWTN explains, today devotees of St. Agatha ask her to intercede for women who have complicated childbirths or problems. She is also invoked by those who suffer from breast cancer and is considered the protector of women and patron saints of nurses. In traditional iconography, she is usually shown with the palm of martyrdom, the palm of victory in her hand, and she is holding the tray on which her breasts were placed. So this is just an incredible story of a beautiful young woman who was determined to keep her commitment to Christ and not be affected by the taunts and by the tortures and the temptations of those who were trying to change her and pull her away from our Lord and the church. So St. Agatha, a beautiful witness, not only for young people, but all of us, pray for us. So definitely this is one thing to do. Obviously, when you go to the beautiful island of Sicily in southern Italy to visit Catania and the cathedral there. Now, they have huge processions in Italy towns to honor their saints, and especially because St. Agatha is so important. And I'm not kidding, because I've seen some of these events, not in particularly in Sicily. I've been to Sicily, but haven't been to this particular procession. But I know in other parts of Italy, it's so beautiful the way they still honor their saints. Even in the little village where we live in central Italy part-time, at the end of May, it's very interesting. There's a story. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it, but our little village is dedicated to St. Thérèse of Lisieux, even though she's a French saint. It's dedicated to her, and the local bishop and priest come by, and they have a procession, and not only the people from our little village, which is only about 200 people, but the people from the surrounding area in central Italy and Umbria come and join this beautiful procession. We have a mass, and we spread roses on the little cobblestone streets and say the rosary afterwards and walk around the town. And last year, a local band came and was playing music in front of the procession as they were carrying this beautiful saint of St. Thérèse of Lisieux through our little town. So these processions are really special. And if you could go on a particular feast day or on a day when they're celebrating a particular saint in any town of Italy, it's just so special to be a part of this. It just reminds you that despite all the issues we know we have in the Catholic Church, and trust me, there's a lot of people, especially in the larger cities in Italy, that have fallen away from the faith, who are more traditional Catholics. They still, you know, maybe go to Mass once in a while, celebrate the feast days. But there are a lot of places where they still take their faith very seriously, especially when they have such an amazing saint, such as St. Agatha, to celebrate. Now, Sicily is a very diverse and large island, and so Catania has a lot of history, a lot of archaeological sites. Of course, you're very close there to Mount Etna, which is fascinating. You can take all-terrain vehicles and drive up the side of the mountain to a certain point. You can go on your own to a certain point and get a look at the volcanic rock. It's fascinating. But then again, as I mentioned, you have all kinds of beautiful churches, including the Cathedral of St. Agatha. You have archaeological sites. You have the ocean, which beautiful beaches. And then you also have an Agrigento, the Valley of the Temples. Now, if you're in Catania and you want to go to Agrigento, you'll have to go southwest, but it's not that far. I mean, you could even drive from Palermo, which is at the top of the island, kind of in the middle, which has beautiful churches with all kinds of mosaics and palaces, and then go down to Agrigento for the Valley of the Temples, and then head east to Catania, and then go up the coast and end your vacation in Sicily in the beautiful resort area of Terramina, which is incredibly beautiful, many beautiful restaurants and hotels, but also an incredible temple there, great deal of archaeology. Something to think about if you want to do something different and you want to honor a great saint, St. Agatha of Catania, Sicily, pray for us. That is this week's edition of Italy's Shrines and Wonders. The book is available now at EWTN's Religious Catalog. We'll be right back. course, it's a Wednesday. That means we continue our discussion on Italy with Joan Lewis. And, of course, Joni is in my book, and her limoncello recipe is in there with a beautiful picture of her toasting us. And that recipe is right from her lovely kitchen. But she also did a beautiful endorsement of the book, which I greatly appreciate. Joan, I'm telling you, there's so much news. I was just discussing this with Bill Donahue, our friend Bill Donahue from the Catholic League, about a half hour ago, about trying to keep up with all the news. And I know the Vatican has been following a lot of developments with Trump and the United States and some of the statements he makes. So anyway, I know there's a great deal to talk about, the prayer intentions for February, the audience, talking about Mary and so much more. So what's the latest in the Eternal City of Roma?
Well, the latest, in a way, of course, is what happens every Wednesday, and that's the weekly general audience. And it was kind of interesting this morning because the Holy Father entered the Paul VI hall in a wheelchair, whereas he normally is seen walking in to those audiences. And as any of our listeners or viewers know, if the Pope, you know, on YouTube or on EWTN or some television, when he will walk with a cane. But last Saturday, he had one of his Jubilee Saturday audiences, you know, kind of like a second general audience of the week. And as he was walking in the door on the left-hand side of the stage, as you're looking at it, the top part of his cane broke off. And I want to tell you, it fell right to the ground. And I want to tell you, had he not had one of his assistants at his side, I think that's where the Pope would have ended up, too. So he was helped to avoid a fall, and it was just kind of a minor stumble. But I don't know if that was why he came today in a wheelchair. Could have been. But shortly after he sat down and they prayed and then the catechesis was going to start, the Pope said, "I'm so sorry, but I do have a cold, and I'm going to have," you know, he pointed to a Monsignor from the Secretary of State, who then read the catechesis, and he read all of the various language greetings. So, for example, any one of the normal readers who came up in French, Spanish, whatever language, they read their summary of the catechesis in that language, and then the Pope had greetings, and the Monsignor translated those. So, I did get the impression that he was watching things closely, that he was having a breathing problem. And I've talked to people, Teresa, who've been at some of his recent events, including the last week at this time, the audience, and then Saturday, that audience, and they said, these are people who probably don't even know each other, but they said the Pope seemed to have a hard time breathing. So, I don't know. But anyway, it was an audience that enchanted everybody who was present. And the catechesis today, very, very beautiful, was on the Visitation, which is actually one of my favorite mysteries of the Rosary. I just love the story of this teenage girl who has just been told by an angel that she's going to bear the Son of God. And an angel also letting Joseph know that his wife, who had a child, everything was being worked out by God. So, Joseph had to know that to not be afraid. So this beautiful story of the Visitation and this teenage girl going that distance to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was, you know, supposed to have been beyond childbearing years. And in those days, too, remember, you and I we take buses from city to city when we're in the Holy Land. But Mary would have walked. She would have been accompanied by some family members or, by the males in the family. And there probably might have even been a donkey that she would have ridden on. But still, it was like, oh, my word. You know, Gabriel tells me that my cousin is pregnant and I have to go help her. And, of course, so we're looking at two newly conceived babies. One is Jesus. The other is John the Baptist. It's just such an amazing story. But Mary, who put others, you know, always before herself, even as she prayed, you know, and went to visit, the others were just more important to her. She had to help them, be there for people, et cetera. So I think that's one of the messages that I most love in the catechesis of the, you know, of the visitation. So,
you know, here, let me read a quote, because I've shared this in the news. This is so beautiful, and I totally agree. I love this reflection. He said, "The Blessed Mother visited St. Elizabeth, but it is above all Jesus in his mother's womb," he pointed out, "who visits his people." I love that line. I love that.
Yes. No, that really kind of made me just kind of sit back and, wow, I never thought of it that way, you know. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, I often think of this when I'm saying the rosary and the visitation, because Elizabeth's words to Mary indicated that there had to have been the Holy Spirit inspiring her. How did she know when she greets her, you know, how am I receiving the mother of my Lord?
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, Mary, you know, there was no way to communicate then other than...
I mean, she didn't send her a text or you know, something on Instagram or Facebook?
Exactly. You know,
right.
We didn't have clouds like Indians,
right.
You know, used to do, et cetera. But our smoke, I mean. So just to know that, that's the part of the, when I say that decade of the rosary, that's the part I almost always stop at. So,
right. Wow,
we don't know, but the Holy Spirit had to have spoken to Elizabeth for Elizabeth to say the word she did to Mary. So,
My Lord should come to me. To me, that is just the whole Theotokos, Mary the God-bearer, right there. What is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?
Yes.
Boom.
You know, and Elizabeth also refers to Mary's acceptance of the will of God, you know,
right.
of this news that she would become the mother of the Son of God and our Savior. So it's one of those mysteries that I can reflect more on each line of the, you know, I'll be reading the Bible verse that speaks of that, and each line that I read, I just kind of want to stop. And I ask, come on, Holy Spirit, let me, instead of reciting this Hail Mary, you know, by memory, by rote, let me see something, understand something new in it. And, no, I just do love this particular, you know, mystery of the rosary. And
well, the catechesis is beautiful today. You and I always encourage our listeners and our followers to make sure that they pick up these little gems, because, as you said, when you're reading Scripture, and this is so important, you try to dive more deeply into it and really understand maybe differently, because we're reading, we'll come across that passage, you know, from the Annunciation quite often, and the Magnificat, of course, you know, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. But we should, if we're open, see it differently each time. It's going to apply to our lives differently. But that's why these catecheses from the Holy Fathers over the years and the centuries are so great, because you can pull them up and it'll help you look at something. I mean, he says here, Mary, Pope Francis said, did not fear danger or others' judgment. Rather, the young woman went toward others instead of choosing to protect herself from the world. And so now put that into context of what you just said, because she's going from Nazareth down to the Jerusalem area, you know, Ein Kerem, where the Church
Ein
of the...
Yes,
it is located. And you and I have been there many times. And so we think, as you said, you know, you're on a pilgrimage bus. Takes you, what, about an hour or so, maybe a little bit longer if there's traffic. But think about it, walking from there, okay?
Sure.
Seriously.
Yeah. Because you don't have a paved highway that you're walking
right.
on. Right. You know, you're walking on stones and maybe through forests. And, I mean, a lot of what was probably there when Elizabeth and Mary were alive is not there today. It would have been bulldozed for buildings and roads. But it certainly would not have been an easy journey. And... you didn't have comfortable shoes by Skechers to wear over this kind of terrain, you know. and just think of how dusty you would get. And, you know,
right.
the miracle of the wine at the dinner in Galilee, I know one of the gospel accounts says there were six jugs, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. And the first time I read this, I thought, wow, that's a lot of wine. Then I realized, of course, the jugs were filled with water, because this was water used for the traditional cleansing at prayer time, et cetera, et cetera. weddings sometimes lasted 2 or 3 days.
Right.
And there was nothing like the couple got married and they went someplace else on a honeymoon. So families celebrated for days, and there were all the liturgical, if you will, liturgical cleansings and ablutions before you prayed. So 20 or 30 gallons of water for guests at a, you know, would not have been a lot of water for cleansing, but it would have been a lot of wine. So
yeah, yeah.
I have often thought of our Lord taking, you know, 120 or so gallons of water and turning it into wine. But some of the things we don't think to ponder, and yet we do. If you ask
right.
the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, he's actually going to help you. That's what I love about saying the rosary.
Saying the rosary and also adding to our understanding by reading these beautiful catechesis that are available so easily to us online. Okay, now one thing I wanted to ask you about, Bella, before we let you go. We have about 4 minutes, 3.5 minutes. We know that on Monday the Holy Father said that the Pope is going to be, well, he announced this, the Pope himself, he's going to be writing this apostolic exhortation dedicated
yes.
to children, which will be awesome. And do we know when that will come out? Is there any word on when we could expect that?
I haven't seen any kind of a date or projection or spring or something else like that. Who, you know, thinking of what upcoming feast day would he probably do, you know, release a thing like that. But the meeting on Monday was absolutely astonishing. I published two different stories on it. And the first, one of the first pictures I saw, I thought, oh my gosh, the woman next to the Pope looks like Queen Rania, because I had been a year ago to a dinner party in her honor. Anyway, it was Queen Rania of Jordan, and she was sitting right next to the Pope at when he spoke. And so it was an amazing meeting. The input by all the different people present was just astonishing. But the whole focus was, of course, the rights of children. And that's what the Pope is going to, he said he's going to dedicate this exhortation to children. And obviously it will be to the rights of children. And so who knows? I think I'll look at the calendar and see what kind of a feast day would be an appropriate one. What would the Pope think of, you know, it's children. Yeah. Would it be World Youth Day? No, that's too soon. But,
yeah.
you know, he's known to be able to write pretty quickly. So
I wonder if it'll be in relationship to, or even though, you know, Blessed Pier Giorgio Fossati was not a child. He was in his early 20s. But certainly, I mean, Blessed Carlo Acutis, who's soon to be Saint Carlo, was very, very young. Was in his early
teens. Sure. Well, that's going to be April 27th.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, so we never know. I don't know if there's going to be a hint at what age the Pope is considering someone when they're a child. You know, I guess I think of maybe up to 8, 9, and 10. And after that, I just think of, you know, you're a baby, then you're a toddler, then you're a child. And at what point, you know, you become a teen. Between a child and a young person. Maybe he'll define that.
Yeah, Maria Goretti, I mean, I know we already have a feast day for her, but, I mean, some of the child saints like that could be possible. So it's really beautiful. I can't wait to see. He had such a strong statement again about abortion, which is hugely important, and he really covered that very extensively in the summit that was held the last 2 days. All right, my dear. Well, that's all the time we have, believe it or not. We are just about out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, as always, on a Wednesday morning. And I'm looking forward to, as we get closer to some of these bigger events for the Jubilee year, to for you to inform us how things are going in Rome. Deacon Dom and I will be going back now in April, right after Easter.
We have a Jubilee Sunday for the military, yeah.
Yes, and then also in February is coming up a Diaconate Jubilee as well for the
Indeed.
Deacons. This month, yeah, so we'll talk about that. Joan Lewis, of course, from our Joan's Rhone segment, and check out her great work always on At Home with Jim and Joy on EW10, as well as her wonderful blog, which is phenomenal. She's a great photographer as well as a great writer and reporter on all things Rome, so check it out. We'll be right back. It is a Wednesday, the feast, speaking of Italy, as we mentioned earlier, of St. Agatha of Sicily. She's buried in the beautiful Sicilian town of Catania, and we'll let you know what's coming up on Thursday, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shield.
Open your hearts to the way in which God wants to shepherd you. By daily prayer, you learn to hear His voice, and He will shepherd you, and then you're going to be in a position to help others draw near to the Good Shepherd. But we need to learn how to hear His voice. And part of the way we do that is by reading Scripture every day until we begin to see what God's priorities are and we make those priorities our own. We repent from the ways and the times in which we just want to do our own will, and we truly more and more are converted that we want God's will, God's way, God's timing. And when the Good Shepherd really leads our lives, then we're in a position to hear His voice more because our lives are converted. They're shaped by His priorities. And so that enables us to hear the voice of truth much more clearly and the voice of love much more clearly. As we give up our selfishness, we are drawn into truly intimate union with Him. May God give you that grace.
Food for the Journey with Sister Ann Shields can be now heard on the audio archives page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Appreciate your listenership here. Don't forget to check out the really cool story on St. Agatha on CatholicNewsAgency.com. It's a beautiful story. Shared a little bit of it with you. I didn't have time to read the whole thing, but it's very well done. And we'll take you right there to Catania, Sicily, in southern Italy. Coming up tomorrow, the world is reacting to this announcement by Donald Trump regarding Gaza. And someone who has spent a lot of time in the Middle East, our very own Father Mitch Pacwa, will be addressing that on our Cultural Connections. Have a great Tuesday. God willing, talk to you on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.